Live from Caesar Studios. Oh, I screwed up. Live from Caesar Photography Studios. This is Sid and Dave's Unnamed Podcast.
You're totally clipping, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why didn't you use those levels before? Now I've got to readjust them. Oh, well. So we're a little out of practice.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Dave Say, digital media designer.
And I am Sid Caesar, photographer.
And we've decided with episode 27 to break down each set of 13 episodes into a season.
This is season
Welcome
three. Welcome to season three.
And it makes sense because we took that break. I guess every 13 episodes we just get tired of this.
Yeah.
Or it gets hot.
Well, that's what we should make. They all do that in the summer. Like, everything always convenes for like a summer break and then they start filming again in the fall. That's probably why.
Yeah, I know. I
mean, because they probably record their shows right here in a hot studio just like us.
I think it's hot in the studio all the time.
And they're like, no.
No, in general. I mean, they've got the lights, you know, there's all the things and like... So
yeah, welcome to season three. 27 episodes.
It was stupidly hot before.
Yeah, we took a little hiatus. July and the beginnings of August can have a tendency to get really hot in here. And there were a few days where we hit above 100 degrees in here, and those are the days where I come in and I just check my mail really quick and I check for packages and then I turn around and I go home. And it's just, I mean, I have a small air conditioner here and I have like one, I don't know if you can visualize this. Everybody can visualize this in their head. So I have like, if you split the studio into four segments, if you had a big rectangle, you split it into four squares within that rectangle. One, like one third of that or one fourth of that, I have a large black curtain that goes the length of the studio sideways. And then I can close that. So like, and I have it that it blocks off my processing area, all my computers and my printers and stuff. So like if I need it to be really dark while I'm working on images, I just close this curtain and it completely blocks me off from the other side of the studio and stuff.
Yeah, I've never noticed it before, but it is like a kind of cube-shaped thing that you've got behind this curtain.
Yeah, here. Yeah, just like a little square. And Sarah lovingly made this big giant curtain mammoth thing and it has a little tie so I can tie it all together and stuff like that. So usually in the summer when it gets really, really hot, I have a little tiny air conditioner that I have in my window and I keep the curtain, this big fabric thing closed and then I can cool off this area within reason and it's tolerable.
The curtains look like giant aprons.
Don't they? They do have a very cooking quality.
They're quite apron-esque.
And usually it works. Usually, like, there's times when it's been, you know, it's been really nice behind here, and then you go on the other side of the curtain, and it's, you know, 100 degrees, and it's just hot and gross.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's just can't afford a big, giant air conditioner in this space. This building is run off commercial electricity prices, and they're just crazy. They're crazy prices. And I don't have the kind of money where I can run an air conditioner all the time. Yet. Someday, maybe.
Got big plans, do you?
You know, you can all just see ahead. It's just, you know, the future's out there.
All right. So, how's the future look? Well, let's talk about the past first. We saw a few movies.
We did. We saw Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, yeah. There were Cowboys and Aliens in that movie. And Harrison Ford was in that movie. And Daniel Craig was in that movie.
And James Bond, Indiana Jones and James Bond were in this movie.
And 13, Olivia Wilde was in that
movie.
And that's pretty much it. There were Cowboys, right? And Aliens.
And Aliens showed up. And there were some fighting Indians. It should have been called Cowboys and Indians.
That's
and
true. There were Indians.
Because they teamed up with a bunch of Indians. I don't know. Like,
I feel like it got what I was expecting.
Right.
But I kind of was hoping for a little more.
I think so.
I mean, I enjoyed it while I was watching it. And I realized that was because I like watching Daniel Craig's, like, he was making this intense... had this intensity about him. But then it occurred to me afterwards, and I started getting mad about this, was he was like in a completely different cowboy movie than everybody else was.
Oh, really?
He was in an awesome cowboy
movie.
He was like totally into the role, and he was like, you know, intense, and he was doing these things, and like, you know, he wears that dangerous mask really well.
Yeah.
And then there's like, oh, there's some cowboys, and there's the one with the bad teeth, and there's the one that has the funny hat. Oh, and there's the one who's like, there's the bad boss guy.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some Indians. Oh, here's some aliens. And as some reviewer online said, it's like they're all right out of central casting.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, but there was no real real story other than like you hope that like Daniel Craig's cowboy character, you know, gets what he has.
Yeah.
Gets what he should deserve, but you know what? Because he's in a serious Shane-like cowboy movie, he doesn't.
Yeah. Somebody on Ain't It Cool News reviewed it and they said this kind of the same thing. They were hoping it was gonna be really good, and they said what it ended up feeling like it felt like a first draft that will now never, you know, move to the second stage. Like, yeah. They had really good parts, and then it just had some parts that were like, what? Yeah, yeah. I thought it was okay. I mean, it was definitely worth seeing. But it was, I don't know, it just seems like there's been more and more movies lately where I'm leaving, and I just feel not even like, just like straight across the board, like, there's just no, you know, like, you're not excited about them, and you didn't think it was terrible, but you were like, well, you know.
We got tricked, you know? The thing, like, think of it like this. Cowboys and aliens. Snakes on a plane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, snakes on a plane.
It, same kind of, like, it sounds like an awesome, like, if you're on the snake demographic, the snakes on a plane. Sounds awesome. Like, it's got Samuel L. Jackson in it. It's on a plane. There's snakes. What could go wrong? And, you know, I've never seen the movie, but I understand.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Well, yeah, Cowboys and Aliens kind of is in that category.
I think, well, no, I think there's, I mean, craft-wise, I think it was a lot better than Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, Snakes on a Plane was terrible?
It was pretty bad. Oh. It was. I was like, really?
Conceptually, though, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it was good. I mean, it was good to see Harrison Ford as a cowboy. I don't think I've ever seen him. I don't think he's ever played a cowboy role before.
He kind of always is a cowboy.
And it was worth it just for that one scene where they keep showing on the commercials where he's just like, I want that man. You give him to me or I'm going to take him. And he just has that kind of chewing on his words kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, you give me that man or I'm going to take him.
Yeah. Well, moving on.
Yeah.
Harry Potter we saw.
Oh, that's the other movie. We finally, yes, it is finally over. It is all done. There's no more Harry Potter movies to see.
Hmm.
What'd you think? Now, you, as somebody that's read the books, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought the books were better. That's a pretty standard response.
Yeah.
From what I recall, and my memory is pretty bad when it comes to books like this, because I kind of read them like I'm watching TV. is that the books set up the ending meeting better?
Yeah.
I think they reflowed the events a bit in the movie, maybe to make them fit in there and so forth.
Yeah.
But, you know, from all the movies, they've always felt kind of like two-dimensional.
Okay.
But again, the reason I like the books is because of the details that they put in it, that they don't have the time to put in. They can imply them in the background. You know, like, my favorite moments from the movies are just seeing things like the wand shop and seeing his little boxes full of wands, because that's just awesome. And that's kind of it, actually. You know, the things I like about the books is, when I was a kid, I used to like reading those children's book series, and they always seem to be about, you know, British school kids running around solving mysteries, you know, or like, you know, doing things like this. And, you know, those, that idea of being a kid and empowered in your own kind of world is like a genre that I used to like a lot and still do. And this is what I saw in the Harry Potter series when I first started, like, getting into it.
Huh.
And in the movies, it's like, especially like, you know, the first couple of them, and maybe since then, like, they've always kind of like been on rails going through the books.
Yeah.
They don't give you any particular new insights into what you might have gotten from the characters.
Right.
What did you think?
I thought it was good. I haven't read the books. Sarah she got the books for her birthday, and she's just about done all of them. I think on Saturday she's going to try to spend most of the day reading the last one.
Ooh, squirt that last one.
But I thought it was good. Interesting enough, I mean, the first two I've never like really warmed up to, and in fact I don't own them. Like, I've got every other movie, but I don't own those first two. I just I don't know. There was just something about it, and I should probably get them just to go back, as it's been so long, and I haven't actually watched them in a really long time.
Yeah.
But I liked the movies for what they were. I thought I liked. For me, I was responding to them as they were getting more and more dark as time goes on.
Yep.
And then by the time you get to the Order of the Phoenix, it's like, holy crap! Like, this is like totally not like the first couple of movies where it was all, you know, like light and fluffy and
yeah.
So it's good. I think out of all of the movies, I'm glad that they broke the last one in half. And I think the first half is probably the strongest out of all of them. Yep. And there's the least amount of like action and stuff. And I think it needs it. I think you need that. That gives you your character development stuff.
Yeah. I could totally buy that.
So, and I thought it was good. I really liked the first half. The second half I thought was good. Since I didn't read the books, I wasn't, you know, I didn't know what the ending was going to be. They kind of Hollywoodified a few scenes, like the scene where they're standing on the thing and he like wraps his arms around him and then like he lunges off the side of the building and they start falling and stuff. That was like completely like just totally done for Hollywood. Now you could almost hear like some producer in the background going, no, you have to have that.
Yeah.
You know, I want that in that movie. But I thought it was good. I thought it was good. And
I wonder if the second half would have felt better if we'd watched the first half right before it.
It might have. But it didn't feel bad, though. I mean, it was kind of cool. And I really liked Voldemort in this movie because they showed you little tiny character scenes, you know, like when he realized like stuff, like somebody had killed one of those other Horcruxes and stuff, and he has that little scene where he's just kind of standing there and he's like, ah, and he just makes this noise.
Yeah. That's Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah, it's Ralph Fiennes. So I was good. I was happy to see it, and I
did like his performance. Like when they first, I was wondering how they're going to handle Voldemort. I had a moment when I said, "I meant he who should not be named."
He who should not be named.
You know what? You know who? like he has an interesting presence.
Yeah.
On the screen, he's always enjoyable to see.
Yeah. Harry Potter.
Yeah,
that's good. He had a nice sneaky voice, and so it was good. So I would recommend it if you haven't seen it in the theater yet. If you've seen the other ones and you haven't seen it, you have to go see it because you've already invested all this money into seeing the other ones.
We've already talked about the Green Lantern movie, right?
Yes, don't even go there. I read an article.
Did you see Captain America yet?
No, Sarah wants to see it, and we haven't. We were walking around Target the other night, and they had like the toy shields.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, "We wanted to go see Captain America." So we haven't seen that yet. We need to go see that. I read it. So speaking of Green Lantern really quick, I read something on like Newsrama or one of those comic book things. They're already talking about rebooting the Green Lantern franchise.
Rebooting already?
They were like, okay, so the first movie didn't do any good and everybody peed on it, and Martin Campbell, the director who did Casino Royale, the James Bond movie, so the guy's like chops, like he's already like completely said like, I'm not going to ever touch another Green Lantern movie again, like I'm not interested in a sequel, I'm done. You know, it's like, ugh. So they're already talking about like rebooting it. And it's like, it's only been out like 2 months and they're already talking about rebooting the thing.
Wow.
That's not a good sign. Mm. So that's done and over with the Green Lantern thing. But I kind of want to see Captain America, which I found out was actually made by the same guy that did the Rocketeer movie in the 80s.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So like evidently he loves like the 1940s era stuff, which is kind of cool. Or maybe they just felt, well, he did The Rocketeer, so maybe he should do Captain America. Who knows how Hollywood thinks?
Yeah. What else was there that's out? Didn't really think of anything.
I don't know. There hasn't been anything. I haven't been to the flea market in a few weeks, so I haven't been able to pick anything up.
You're all like in wedding prep mode.
So I got 29 days as of today, less than a month, and I will be married.
I still need to write that thing.
Yes. Yeah. Duh. We're just starting to buckle down now. Like we've got the venues are all booked. And then the last week we've been going around, like we just picked out the cakes, and next Monday we're going to go talk about food for the reception. And then we have to talk about some other things. So, but it's coming along well.
I could just get a cereal box and read the back of it.
Don't do that.
In an epic way.
Don't do that.
What's your favorite cereal?
I'm not going to tell you.
Dang. All right.
So there's all kinds of wedding crap going on. So,
and new games you've been playing?
No,
you're doing that Wednesday night Halo night for a while. How's that going?
I haven't done it in like a month. Oh. Just because it seems like every Wednesday night we're somewhere doing wedding stuff now.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully that can pick up after the wedding stuff is done and over with. Mm. What was I playing? Oh, like the only thing I've really been playing, I played a couple of rounds of Gears of War 2. I like to play the Horde mode, which is just you up to five people you play with, and then they just release waves and waves and waves of bad guys.
What's so fun about
that? It's just an endurance thing. I just think it's fun because it just gets harder and harder and harder and harder. And so what ends up happening is when you first start, you're all running around and everybody's killing everything. And then by the time you get to like, you know, like wave 30, they're pretty much got you pinned in one spot. Like, and you have to like try to fight your way. You know, it's good. I like it.
Okay. So it's not like you're just standing in one space, but you're...
No, so you're being, I mean, you can like...
It's kind of like Aliens.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Exactly. That and then Gears 3 is coming out in September, and they've got an overhauled Gears War thing, and you can actually buy things with points, so you can buy sentry guns and stuff, and you can set things up, which for me, I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I've been playing a little of that, and then I've never stopped playing Red Dead Redemption, and so I've been playing more and more of that. I'm still doing I've done the first person campaign, but I've been trying to go through and do everything in the game.
Every time I see a cowboy related thing, I think they should take the Red Dead Redemption engine. So like, where's the Aliens expansion model for Red Dead Redemption? Or like, watch Firefly. Where's the Firefly expansion module for space and
it's
Red Dead
awesome.
Redemption?
So I am 99.2% complete. So I've done 99.2% of the entire game, like all the little side quests and all the gathering things and all the fetch quests and It's pretty intense. So
you should get Sarah to make you a little patch.
I've officially made Legend of the West status in the game, and it unlocked a Legend of the West costume that I wear, really? And it's like it's got a duster in it, and it's like,
You should put that together for real.
Yeah. So I'm very excited. I'm 99.2% done, and it's like the only thing I have left really is I have to unlock two costumes to unlock, and it's like these stupid little things where I have to win a bunch of money gambling, and I suck at gambling.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a while before I think I reach 100%. And that's good. And there's not too many games where I actually have like done everything, you know, like Super Mario 64. Like I played that game like 1,000 times to death and get all the coins and all that. The Prince of Persia game that came out, I don't know, 2007, and that's collecting all these little, it's all collecting stuff.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's all just like doing little random tasks and stuff, but it's really fun.
Yeah. I've completed so few games. I just get bored of them.
Really?
Yeah.
You need to get back into Red Dead.
I guess.
And you need to get on Xbox Live.
I suppose. Yeah. I think what I figure out what the game mechanism is, and then I see how they're stretching it. And then I says, I get kind of bored about that. Yeah, and I also realize, you know, I'm not really that much of a gamer. And this is why, like, I'm no longer, like, seriously pursuing, like, you know, game development work for companies. You know, so I had an opportunity to work on some more stuff like that for Mark's company. And, I was working on my own stuff, which is non-game related. That works really well. Turn that off. So just turned on the fan and just blew a whole bunch of noise into the signal. Nice going. Oh, and I was telling a story, but I guess I'm done with it.
Sorry. Sorry. You're not really into games anymore.
Not really into games anymore. Let's just leave it at that.
That's too bad. So yeah, what else? So we had a meetup. We had a photographer meetup.
Oh, here. Yeah.
The last time we had a photography meetup was this time last year. We were at Benson's. And so this guy, Keith Tharp, who's a photographer, a local photographer, he wanted to create a Facebook group, and he wanted to try to get the meetups back up and going. So he created this thing called the Southern New Hampshire Photo Community Facebook page. And like within, you know, like 12 hours or something, there's like 100 and something members on there. And I think there's at 150 members right now. And it's like Southern New Hampshire and Northern Massachusetts. And then like within like a week, we plugged in a date for the first meetup. And so we had it last weekend. We had it here at the studio. And then what we did was we had this guy, Rob Sylvan, who wrote the Lightroom for Dummies book. And he's also a troubleshoot guru for the National Association of Photoshop Professionals or something like that.
Photoflop.
So he said he'd come up and do like a little hour and a half Q&A here in the studio. So he brought his laptop, and then so it was like for people that, you know, like either are trying to get into Lightroom or they just have questions or they got stuck and they don't know what to do. So we limited that, and we had like 30 RSVPs for that. We cut it at a certain number.
Uh-huh.
And so like at 2:00, he came in, and we had about 30 people here in the studio. And then he did a Q&A for about an hour and a half, talked about Lightroom and showed people how, you know, little tips and things. And then when that ended, we looked out the window and there was a bunch of people waiting for the meetup to start outside of the building. Crowd. Yeah. So we had, there was quite a few people, and they all tried to bring models and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was good. And then we got rained out, but we started at say 5:00, and I think people were shooting probably till about 7:30.
Nice.
And they sort of used like the little bridge area here over by the Nashua River.
Cool.
So it was good. It was a good chance for people to network, and I saw faces I'd never seen before. And so it was nice. So we're hopefully can get more of that going on.
That's great.
But that was kind of cool.
Oh, so a good thing has happened.
Yeah. So that was nice. Great. So, and I still don't know anything about Lightroom.
So did it look at least interesting?
I think it's more.
I fall asleep at software.
Yeah. I think for photographers and for heavy volume shooters that have to end up giving lots of images to clients, like wedding photographers, you know, some of them give like 1,200 processed images.
Yeah.
I think for them, I think this is the way to go because it's built from the ground up for RAW. So it's built for RAW filings. And then you can batch process stuff really, really quickly. So, you know, like if you've got images that are all the same exposure, and you don't want to open each one up individually and stuff, you just do the workings on the first one, and then you can just say, okay, produce all the ones I've selected right now, and it just and the cool thing, and the reason why it does it so fast, is that it's not actually editing the image.
Yeah.
It's it's memorizing all of the lines of text or code that you do to adjust that image. So it saves all of that somewhere else.
Okay.
So it memorizes all of the little adjustments that you made, and then it stores that someplace else. And then that way it just takes that, and I guess it just starts plugging it into the image or something like that. So it's interesting.
Okay, yeah.
But for,
it's non-destructively edits photos.
Yes, it non-destructively edits photos.
Yeah.
But for me, like, usually I'm dealing with, you know, one-on-one with clients where I'm only going to end up giving them, you know, five or six final images at that.
Yeah.
And usually my proof edits, they're usually like right around 20 or 25. So for me, I don't really mind going in and tweaking each image individually like I do in Photoshop Bridge.
Yeah.
But you know, like if I had, you know, like 1,000 images I needed to go in, like I could totally see just going into Lightroom and just start. And then Lightroom has certain things, like you can do a bunch of stuff, but you can't do certain things that Photoshop can do, like, you know, blemish correction and anything like that, like pixel adjustments. So you still need to import it into Photoshop and do your pixel adjustments, but it's more of a raw thing. It works better with raw, and it lets you sort of control all your raw settings.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to watch and stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a useful primer on what Lightroom is good for.
Yeah.
And Lightroom, is that Apple or is that Adobe?
That is Adobe.
Okay. And Apple's product is Aperture.
Aperture, yeah. By Apple. Apple.
Is it kind of the same thing, or is it a hybrid? Does it allow you to?
I don't know. Hmm. I think they're both built for raw file stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything else about it.
Hmm.
I'm new.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. What else has been going on? I have a workshop tomorrow.
Great.
And then it has a hiatus for September because of all the wedding stuff and the honeymoon stuff. And then it's after tomorrow, there's just one left. There's one in October. Hmm. And then we're done for the year.
Oh. How many have you done this year or were planned? Like, you've six, something like that?
One, five or six? Yeah. When did we start? March? I don't remember. I think maybe six.
Hmm.
So it's been an interesting year. It's been a lower volume year.
Yeah.
And I think I'm starting to get into these price points where professionals don't mind paying it for professional development, or people that are running it as a small business.
Yep.
I think for people that just do it as a hobby, they're starting to balk at the $200 price, and that's okay. Like, you know, it's
fine.
You
may create different packages if you wanted to. It's entirely. Right.
And I think, you know, we start at one and we go until 10 sometimes or 11.
Yeah,
you're getting a hell of a deal for $200, you know, especially all you do is you bring your camera and you're using equipment on site. And, so I think it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Maybe your marketing, you just need to make that more clear. I haven't been like, you know, the length of time. Because people have, I know that you have all this stuff on your website, but it's, people want to see at most, they want to read at most 150 words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And if you can't get it all in the 150 words, you kind of lose a lot of people. I have this problem a lot because I go very verbose on my blog posts. But in a way, it's kind of a filtering operation because only the people who really are that interested, those are the people who end up signing up for it.
Yep.
And the people who skim, they usually aren't the ideal match for me because I'm verbose.
Yeah.
Yes, I like to go into a lot of detail. And if you can't handle it, then we're not going to be able to keep up with each other. So, and yes, well. But you do need to kind of find that sort of sweet spot where you can be bringing in, like, you know, enough of it to make the effort worthwhile.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's been going on, and we've been standing while recording this at our new standing desk.
That's right. We put together the standing desk because you wanted to give it a try.
I wanted to give it a shot.
And I've been doing it. I've just been standing at Starbucks, you know, giving it a try there, and so I was ready.
To do it. Yeah, and so far it's been good. Like, I think this is the second week, maybe?
Yeah.
And things feel good, and, you know, my feet are tired. And they're still kind of achy a little bit, but I think my body's getting used to it.
Yeah, next week your posture is better too. You say?
Yeah, hopefully.
I commented on Facebook maybe a little bit too much. That my buns feel a little springier. You
can bounce quarters off your buns.
You probably crack walnuts with them.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. My uncle, when I was really little, we went to Boston one time. And my uncle went to a comic book convention. And he was in the passenger seat of the car, and we were leaving Boston, and this girl walks by. And I, you know, like, I don't remember much about my uncle, but all I can remember is him going, "Man, look at those legs. He's like, you could grind coffee beans with those.
Grind coffee beans?
Like, they were just so, like, in shape that she could just, like, rub her legs together and she could grind coffee beans. And I was like, wow, really? She can grind coffee with her legs? And I was like, what does that mean? I don't know. It's kind of funny. So, yeah. So, we've been standing. We're loitering now. We're loitering at our own space.
Yeah. I like how it keeps me from falling asleep after lunch.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, it seems like it's easier to focus. And, you know, like, I think we commented on this before. Like, you can move around.
Yeah. You know, you can play music and you can dance. And it's very easy to just, like, when your body knows that it needs to get away from the screen for a few minutes. It's more of a natural transition from just standing here to all of a sudden you're out on the floor and you're, you know, it's interesting. You never really think about it, but it's like you're here and then all of a sudden you're,
you know, you're over there.
Yeah. You can just walk away and
now you're here
and now I'm back.
Wow.
It's like sitting down and standing up. Now I have a lap. No, I don't have a lap. Now I have a lap. Where does it go?
I found the pad does make a big difference. Like I have this.
Have you noticed?
I set up a standing desk in my basement and it has Berber carpeting down there.
Yep.
When I'm at Starbucks, like I'm wearing flip flops now, but they have some sort of built-in cushioning.
Uh-huh.
But I'm on bare feet when I'm downstairs in the basement, and I'm noticing the floor feels really hard, and it's much more easy to get fatigued.
Yeah,
working down there.
Yeah, yeah. I picked up these little pads at Sam's Club, and it was like $20 for a pack of six, and they're just these big squares, and they've got a little cushioning to them, so they feel pretty good.
Yeah, I might have to pick some up.
You know, and they're cheap enough that, you know, I go through all six, and then if I throw them all away, I can just go buy another bundle or something like
that's
that.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we went to John Herman had his
Media Makers thing.
At the Courier Museum.
Yes. Yes.
So there was a good turnout there. It was like...
Mess load of people.
80 people.
It was the first time in the area. Usually the Media Makers, they meet up in Newmarket at this place called Crackskulls.
Yeah.
And tiny, I guess it's I guess it started off as a really small group, and it's just, you know, people show up and they just say, you know, this is who I am, this is what I do, looking for people for blah blah blah. And so he had the first one. He wanted to have a larger one, so he had it at the Courier Museum a couple of weeks ago, and it was a crazy turnout. There was a lot of people, and there's people from the coast that came, and there was people from southern New Hampshire that came. So that was really good.
That was your first time.
Yep. So it went good.
Yeah, looks like we're out of time.
We're running out
of
time.
That's the 2-minute mark.
We're past the first episode of season 3.
Yep.
What else? Do we have anything else we want to plug? I want to plug our buddies Michael Bellar and the As Is Ensemble, who are actually coming back to Studio 99.
All right.
On August 20th, this month, August 20th. It's a Saturday night. Starts at 8 p.m. Please go see them. They are so freaking awesome. For more information, go to studio99nashua.com. But Michael Bellar, who's actually playing the music you're hearing right now, our buddy jazz guy from New York City. What?
I'm heading to PodCamp New Hampshire tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Saturday, August 13th. It's up in the New Hampton, I think.
I have no idea where that is.
Yeah, I have no idea. That's why I'm borrowing your GPS, because mine's broken. Yeah, I need to get that repaired.
Yes.
But yeah, so a day of hanging around and doing internet stuff with my fellow nerds. So that's really why I'm going.
Nerd brethren.
You know, there's like, I guess there's social media stuff and social media marketing stuff, but I'm not into that stuff. So it'll be mostly like, what can we make?
Is it jump the shark already?
Well, anytime marketing gets involved, it kind of is jumping the shark. But that's because that's where all the people are.
Right.
So like, if you're like an ahead of the curve adopter type, you know, then... Yeah, but lots of good people are doing good stuff in that space, you know, so
good.
I am being optimistic.
Yes. Awesome. All right. So I guess that's going to wrap it up for this week. Go visit Michael Bellar and the As Is Ensemble when they come to Studio 99. I'm going to keep pushing that as much as I can.
Yep.
I guess that'll do it for this week. Until next week, I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And I am designer Dave Say.
And we shall see you later.
Take care.
Yeah. Turn the phone back on and blow it all into the microphone.
Yeah.
Michael Bellar, give it up. MichaelBellar.com. Y'all.